This is Fresh Air. The film The Last Black Man in San Francisco won two prizes at this year's Sundance Film Festival, including one for its first-time feature director Joe Talbot. Jimmy Fails and Jonathan Majors play two best friends trying to survive on the margins of San Francisco. The story is loosely based on events from Fails' own life. Film critic Justin Chang has this review.
You could think of The Last Black Man in San Francisco as a love story between a man and a house. The man is named Jimmy Fails, and the house is a beautiful old Victorian located in San Francisco's historic Fillmore District. Jimmy, who's in his 20s, grew up in that house, and he still visits it every week or so to touch up the paint or tend to the garden, to the chagrin of its present occupants. We're told that the house was built by Jimmy's grandfather, one of thousands of African Americans who moved to the city in the 1940s, fleeing oppression in the South. But then Jimmy's family lost the house, and in the years since, the Fillmore has seen much of its working-class black population displaced by wealthier white residents. The Last Black Man in San Francisco is the latest of a few independent movies to address the toll of gentrification in the Bay Area, but it isn't an angry melodrama like Blindspotting or an off-the-wall satire like Sorry to Bother You. It's a soulful comic fable, grounded in hardscrabble realism, but also full of bright, vibrant colors and deadpan sight gags. It captures both the absurdity and the melancholy of a city in flux. The movie emerged from a close friendship and collaboration between the director, Joe Talbot, and his star, Jimmy Fails, both lifelong San Franciscans. It's fitting that the actor and his character share a name, since the story is a loosely fictionalized version of Fails' own. In the movie, Jimmy spends nearly every free moment with his best friend, Mont, played by Jonathan Majors. At night, Jimmy crashes on the floor of the cramped hovel that Mont shares with his grandfather, played by Danny Glover. During the day, the two friends sometimes ride around together on Jimmy's skateboard, looking on in bewilderment at a city that is changing so quickly, racially, socially, and economically, that they hardly recognize it anymore. Jimmy and Mont are dreamers at heart. Mont, a fishmonger, aspires to be an artist and playwright. Jimmy works in a nursing home, but what consumes him is that old Victorian, which he hopes will someday be his again. Then one day the house is suddenly vacant and put up for sale, and Jimmy, sensing an opportunity, secretly moves back in. The place is a squatter's paradise, as well as a rich repository of old and sometimes painful memories. In one scene, Jimmy and Mont invite over their friend Kofi, played by Jamal Truelove. Kofi asks Jimmy about the house, but Mont is the one who answers, sensing Jimmy's reluctance to talk about his past.
How'd y'all get this? It's Jimmy's. His grandpa built it. He was the first black man in San Francisco.
That's what they call him anyways.
This that house? Hey, Jimmy used to talk about this spot all the time. But you know how be in a group home, over-exaggerating and
trying to be all special. You weren't lying about this one though, huh, Jimmy?
You were in a group home? Yeah. For like a year.
Yeah. You can tell from the leisurely cadences of the dialogue that Talbot and his actors are in no hurry to get from point A to point B. There's a surpassing gentleness to this movie, which knows that sometimes telling a story is a bit like exploring a city. You have to be willing to meander. Not a lot seems to happen in The Last Black Man in San Francisco, but as the story comes together piece by piece, it achieves an emotional power that extends well beyond its central duo. We only gradually learn what the tragedy of losing the house did to Jimmy and his family, including his still angry father, played here by a ferocious Rob Morgan. Talbot and his cinematographer, Adam Newport-Berra, show us parts of San Francisco we rarely see on screen, like the abandoned shipyard at Hunter's Point, which once employed thousands of African Americans during World War II. The entire movie feels haunted by the ghosts of history, reminding us of a rich and vibrant past that will never be restored. That might make the movie sound unbearably sad, But The Last Black Man in San Francisco has a droll sense of humor that ultimately feels inseparable from its heartache. It also has a score by Emile Mosseri that sometimes verges on operatic, turning drab, forlorn moments into strangely ecstatic ones. Fales, a first-time actor, is a naturally expressive screen presence, and his very stillness draws you in. At times, he and Majors achieve the rapport of a great silent comedy duo. Jimmy and Mont are like folk heroes in a contemporary urban odyssey, lonely adventurers just trying to find their way to someplace like home. They may never get there, but this extraordinarily beautiful movie makes you glad for every moment of the journey.
Justin Chang is a film critic for the Los Angeles Times. If you'd like to catch up on Fresh Air interviews you've missed, like our interviews with actor Damian Lewis or Charles Fishman, whose new book tells little-known stories about the Apollo space program, check out our podcast. You'll find lots of Fresh Air interviews. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our senior producer is Roberta Shorrock. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, Heidi Simon, Teresa Madden, Mooj Zaidi, and Seth Kelly. Thea Challoner directed today's show. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies.